We started a couple of weeks ago, and we were looking at the life of Saul when Saul was chosen to be king. And I've been reading this scripture and studying this really over the past year and a half. I sat down, and to be honest with you, I've outlined a couple of messages, and I thought I would get up and be able to have a message, you know, kind of on the life of Saul, but it's just too much. And when we were going through the scripture, I started getting into it a couple of weeks ago. I couldn't even get through one chapter. So I'm going to try tonight to get back into that and begin to talk about this scripture and begin to look at the life of Saul. And it was amazing when you start in the story. The story started off with some animals coming up missing. And Saul went out looking for the animals, and God told Samuel that he was coming. And Samuel met Saul, and he pretty much tells him, in going down to verse number 20, where we'll start, that it wasn't about the animals after all. That the events that led Saul to come in contact with Samuel were orchestrated by the Lord, because God had a plan for Saul's life. And sometimes God may be working in our lives and we don't really see it and we don't understand it, but I believe this and I've learned this and I tell myself this when I need to hear it, is even when you cannot see it, God is always working and God is always doing something. And what Saul thought was an issue where he had to go out and find the animals really was designed in such a way that God could show Saul what God's plan was for his life. And I've heard people say some of the most difficult times in their life were really the times that God showed them the most, or that God gave them the most direction. And I've heard it even expressed like this: sometimes when you think God is trying to kill you, it's when he's doing the most to build character and to show you his plan for your life. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, I absolutely believe in free will, and I believe God limits himself to give us free will. And here's the point: I don't believe God orchestrates evil. And I believe we can decide which direction we're going to go. And you know, sometimes when people make wrong choices, I've heard people even try to justify it and say, well, that was because it's almost like this: well, if it wasn't a God's will, it wouldn't happen. Well, that's not true. The Bible says it's not his will that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. But not everybody comes to repentance. The Bible also says that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And that's why when we go out and, you know, we buy our kids a new bicycle or a motorcycle, the first thing we do is we get a helmet and put it on them. The reason we do is because the things you do matter and they make a difference. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going to have to move on, or I won't even get finished with this chapter. As it is impossible for you with a finite mind to understand where the sovereignty of God and the foreknowledge of God and the free will of man cross. You'll never be able to understand it with a finite mind. But I want you to understand, we are responsible for everything we do, and we cannot blame God for it. When he says all things work together for the good, it's like when you're making the cake. And I've used this analogy before. We don't eat a spoonful of salt, and we don't eat dry flour, and we don't eat a spoonful of even cocoa. And I want to tell you something: don't drink vanilla flavoring, because it does not taste like sugar cookies. But when you mix it all together and God begins to work in our life, then we can see God's plan. And what's happening is God has a plan for Saul's life, and God is beginning to call him and teach him. Now let's go to the 21st verse and pick up and read. And this is where Saul is speaking and talking with Samuel. He said, "And Saul answered and said, 'And not I, a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then speakest thou to me?'" There's so much in this scripture, it's why it's hard for me to keep moving. I want you to see his humbleness right here. He's saying, "Who am I?" Okay? Now we apply this to our lives. Who are we that God would do anything on our behalf? Sometimes I say, who am I, God, at all that you would allow me to stand and preach your word? But he's demonstrating some humbleness. And in doing so, look at the 22nd verse. It says, Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. Now, a couple of things here to see. Saul was the one that was going to be chosen to be king. And Samuel took not only Saul, but also his servant. And what I want you to see here is sometimes, and I believe this with all my heart, the blessings of others spill over on us. Now, I've said this before, and I believe this. There are times that I think God has blessed me because of my dad. Y'all have heard me talk about my dad, and it's kind of like when I hear y'all talk about Pastor Quinn. I wonder sometimes because of his faithfulness if it wasn't part of the way that God has blessed me. And you see here in the story, it's very real to where Saul is told by Samuel, we're going to take you in and you're going to sit with us. But they went to the chiefest place, and it was not only Saul, but it was the servant. And I want to flip over to Luke chapter number 14, and I want to read some scripture to you about what those chiefest seats are. And this is Jesus teaching on humility, and it says, and he, speaking of Jesus, put forth a parable to those which were bidden. And when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest rooms, which means the chiefest seats, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room or the lowest seat. Says, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. And here's the way that the seats were. When they went into a place to eat or a wedding or a place to sit, the table was shaped like a horseshoe. And when you went in and you sat, the corner of the table was where the chiefest seat was. It's like a Monopoly board. Do not pass go. Well, go was the chiefest seat. And people, a lot of times, what they want to do is they would want to go and get as close to the corner as they could, because that's where the chiefest seats were. That's where the important people were. And they wanted to be important, so that's where they would go. And what he's saying here in this scripture is, don't go to that seat. Sit down here on the ends. So that when somebody comes to you, they say, oh no, you need to go up higher. Well, it's a whole lot better to be told to go up higher than to be sitting up there trying to lift yourself up. And they say, oh, you got to go down lower. Well, here we see in this scripture that Samuel takes Saul and he takes him straight to the chiefest seats. And what I want you to understand about Saul, I know he's going to be king, but he wasn't used to this. This is not the norm for him. I mean, remember, he said, I'm from the smallest tribe. Who am I? But he is honored. Now look at the 23rd verse. Not only does he get the chiefest seat, but listen to what Samuel the prophet said. Said, and Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, sit it by thee. Not only did he get the best seat, but he got the best food. They saved it for him. And God was beginning a process, and he was blessing Saul. Now, for us, what I want us to realize is if we have a blessing, it's because of God. If you have the ability to do something, it's because of God. Everything that we have that blesses us, it comes from God. It says, and the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Now I mentioned before when we were getting into this, when Saul come into Samuel's presence, Saul is now sitting in the chiefest seat, eating the best food with the greatest prophet. And he was sitting there with the man of God. And it's almost like this, you know, and I mentioned this last time we were studying this. You know, we had Garland Odom come here and preach a couple of months ago. And I always thought if I ever pastored again that I wanted to have Garland Odom come and preach. And the reason I say that to you is because that man, of the men that I know that are living today, is probably one of the greatest men of God I know. And it wasn't but just a couple of days after we had our service that he called me. And of course, I'm wondering, okay, what is this? I had to call him back. And Garland Odom invited me to go down to his little place in South Georgia and go fishing. Now, here's what he was saying to me. He said, now, do you have time to talk to me? I said, yes, sir. You know why I said yes, sir? Because I considered it an honor for that man of God to take the time to call me and invite me to go fishing with him. I don't have time to go fishing with him, but I enjoyed talking to him. And you know, you look back on the people in your life that have had that kind of influence on you, that have touched your life. This is something to really be considered as a time of greatness in Saul's life, when God is calling him and he uses the great prophet Samuel to minister to him. It would be a time, and this is very important, of doing nothing but sitting and listening. And that's something, I'll be honest with you, that's something I've had to learn. I've had to learn that in marriage. I've had to learn how to listen. You know how it is at work every day, and I'm working, and people come to me, and I'm making decisions, and it's just like this, and the wife will call me on the phone, your kids will be doing something, I say, okay, here's what you do, this, this, and this, what's next? She said, I didn't want you to tell me what to do. I wanted you to listen to me. Do you know that sometimes we miss very important things because we don't listen? This was a time for Saul to listen. Now look at the 25th and the 26th verse. It says, and when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed, or he conferred with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul rose, and they went out both of them. And he said, he and Samuel abroad. So it's a time of communing. It's a time of him giving him advice, of him sharing wisdom, of him sharing knowledge. And I'll tell you what I miss most about my dad. My dad's been gone to be with the Lord now. April 30th will be 10 years. It's when I used to go and sit on the front porch when my heart was heavy. And I would tell him what was on my heart and my mind. And he always had this quiet, gentle way of just speaking to me and sharing wisdom. And when I look at Samuel, the prophet, conferring with Saul, that's what he is trying to do. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Everything that you see right now in the life of Saul is going to become very, very important. If you already know the story of Saul and what happened to him, these were very important times. And ultimately, when we get to the story of Saul, this man was blessed by God. God had poured his spirit upon him. God had allowed him to be in the presence of Samuel. But there was some advice that he did not heed. Look at the 27th verse. It says, and they were going down to the end of the city. Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. So it's just Samuel and Saul. He said, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. And when he said to tell the servant to pass on, here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen very closely to what I have to say to you. It's to pay attention. And sometimes when God comes on the scene and he begins to speak to us, that is exactly what we need to do. We need to listen closely, we need to pay attention, and we need to learn. And there's a reason for it. And I use it kind of like this in my own life. Life is like a series of crossroads. Every time, you know, it seems like you make one decision and you move forward and there's another one in front of you. It's like you just pull up to the crossroad. And if you do not know which way to go, don't move. But if God speaks to you by His Spirit and He tells you, you need to listen. Because if you don't, you end up right back at the same place you started. You can't go to the next step until you learn what you need to learn right there. And He's speaking to him and He's saying, listen closely to what I have to say. Pay attention and learn. He said, I'm going to show thee the Word of God. He says to him, stand still. And sometimes in our lives, that's what we need to do, is be still and listen to God. Now look at the 10th chapter and look at what happened with Samuel. It said, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? That the oil represents the Spirit. The kiss represents the blessing. Well, if you want to know why, it's because the Lord. He said, the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. Why? Because that prophet had heard from God. In the second verse, he tells him, when you're departed from me today, you're going to find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin and Zelzah, and they will show unto thee the asses, the animals which thou wentest to seek are found. And he says, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Now what you see here in this verse is direction, there's expectation, and there's concern. And he's telling them, when you leave here, you're going to find two men. Remember, this is a prophet. Okay, God spoke to him, and God's letting him see, and he's giving him specific direction. But he's telling him, your father is more concerned now about you because you've been gone so long looking for these animals than he's even or was about the animals. Sometimes we've been through that too, right? You ever been in Walmart and you say, go find your brother? Well, they leave and brother comes walking up 45 minutes later. Where did the one go? God was moving here and God had a plan. The third verse, it says, and then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee their men going up to God to Bethel. One carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. It says, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. Now, here's something else I want you to see that God's doing with Saul. He's teaching him that God knows how to take care of him. Now what you and I need to do, and I heard a preacher say this, that God will take care of his children. Samuel spoke to Saul, told him something specific was going to happen. Why? I believe God is actually showing him that he knows how to take care of him. He knows what we need. Look at verse 5. It says, after that, shalt thou come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And it says, and they shall prophesy. He's got an appointment. There's a specific time. But in the sixth verse, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Now, there are three things here in this verse. It says the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And he says you will prophesy. It's like this. You will be overwhelmed. I like it when we have church services that people that are dignified and don't get real excited most of the time, they don't realize what's happening to them. And they get excited and they look around and almost like they catch themselves. So I can't believe I'm doing that. Saul was not among the prophets, but God had anointed him. He said, the Spirit's going to come on you. You're going to prophesy. But then he says, you're going to be turned into another man. Now, folks, this is what happens when you are overtaken by the Spirit of God. Saul was overtaken. Now, I want to read two more verses, and that's all we're going to get tonight. But something very, very important in this eighth verse that I want to spend a minute or two on. It says, and let it be when these signs are come upon thee that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with you. He said, you're going to do as occasion shall serve thee. Here's what it means. It means moving with purpose. It means moving with passion. It means moving with confidence because you know you're walking with God. Why or how? Because God is with you, okay? But look at the eighth verse. Very, very important verse in the life of Saul. It says, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. That's very simple. But here's something that I want us to understand as Samuel is speaking to Saul. He told him specifically, you go down before me. Then he tells him, I am going to come to you to offer sacrifice. The sacrifice is worship. And then he tells him how long. He said, 7 days shalt thou tarry. And then he tells him specifically, till I come to thee. This is very important. He gives him specific instruction. It's very important that Saul do what Samuel says and he wait on him. There was an appointment, there was a purpose, there was a time. Now you look at this and you're not going to really understand the importance of this verse till you go farther in Samuel's life and you see the next time that Samuel speaks to Saul and he tells him exactly the same thing. Because this time, Saul does what Samuel tells him. He says, I'm coming. You go over there. I'm coming over there where you are. This is how long. This is what we're going to do. Till I come to thee. And sometimes, you know, in our lives, we have to learn how to listen to God by following God. I can't tell you the times that I've had people come to me and they say, how do you know the will of God? You learn the will of God by following God when God speaks to you. If you do the will of God today, you will better understand the will of God tomorrow. The question, when God speaks to us, do we listen? Do we do what God says? Or, because we don't see God doing what we want in the time that we want, do we try to do our own thing and justify what we did when we did not do what God said? And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. It's rather than waiting, listening, being prepared till God moves, well, God's not moving fast enough. There was an appointment, there was a purpose, there was a time. And then he says, I will show you what you shall do. To know what to do, it's important in our lives that sometimes you must wait on God. Y'all familiar with the song, While I'm Waiting? You've seen the movie Fireproof. There's a scene in there where he is praying for his wife and he's trying to reestablish a relationship with her. And he goes down the hall and the song is playing, While I'm Waiting. And he raises his hand up to knock on the door. She's behind the closed door. And he raises his hand up and then he puts his hand down and he has to walk back. That is the hardest thing for us to do as Christians. Hurry up, God. But I want you to, if you want to read farther, I want to go through the life of Saul. There's so much in there. It's important. It's important to listen to what God says. And you're going to find out if you study the life of Saul, as long as he did what God said, what happened to him? Spirit of God was on him. He prophesied. He had power with God. And there's no limit to what he could have done. But he didn't always follow. A lot in the life of Saul. That's all we're going to get tonight. We're going to, if you want to read farther, please do so. Let's remember our service Sunday morning. Invite somebody to come and be with you. Remember our wild game banquet coming up. How many tables we got sold now? 450. That's good. Remember the things at the church, and let's remember the funeral of Sunday and Miss Durham's family, and remember the Sowerby family. And thank you for being with us tonight. You can be dismissed.